We excited to be here? You happy you have come to worship? Are you happy you've come to worship? Amen. God's amazing. Do we understand that this evening? God is amazing. I don't understand it, church. He is amazing. He's the things He blesses us with, and we don't even deserve it. We got $42,000. Do you not look around right now at the people in this room? We could empty our bank accounts and probably not get $42,000. God is beyond amazing. We can't do it without Him, church. There's nothing. Did you hear the song? Nothing better than God. Nothing better than God. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to remind you of the most important thing this evening. Something that's been on my heart for the last couple of weeks here. Feels like, I don't know what it is. Feels like I haven't been up here for months. It's only been a month, but it feels like it's the second time I've ever been up here. I want to remind you of the greatest thing, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no greater thing. The good news. The great news. The amazing news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But listen to me closely, church. Many people feel like they are the center of the universe. That everything revolves around them. That they are the most specialist people in the world. Listen to me closely. I want to ask you this question. It's going to be a hard message and a good message. A hard message and a good message. What do we deserve, church? What do we really deserve? But to understand that, we must know who God is. We must understand that God's holiness, God's awesome and mighty power is overwhelming. That He is on the throne, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to read a passage in Psalms 19, verse 1 through 6 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." Psalms 24, 1 through 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for He founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." Romans 11, 33 and 36 says, "Oh, the depths of His riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable is His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of God? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen, church." To Him is everything. He is everything. He is the King. He is the Lord. He is your Father if you have Jesus Christ. He is everything, church. The world does not revolve around New Life. It does not revolve around the Christian. It does not revolve around America. Listen to me. The world revolves around God and God alone. He is the only one. He is the creator of heaven and earth. The first verse in the whole Bible. "For in the beginning God created." God created. We aren't the creator. We create nothing. Who can stand before God? Isaiah fell and cursed himself because he wasn't worthy. John in Revelation fell to the ground like he was dead because he's not worthy to stand in the presence of God. God is almighty, and He's King. Church, listen to me. He is King. He is King. I hope you were able to worship this evening. I hope you were able to worship with your whole heart. I hope you can feel the Holy Spirit in the room this evening. Verse 1 in Ephesians. We have to understand this today, church. As for you, were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We are all sinners. We are transgressors. Listen to me. Human beings' hearts are evil. We go against God. We sin. We steal. We lie. We blaspheme the name of God. There's adulterers and idolaters. Sexual immoral. We do this all in the face of God. And we say, God, your word offends me. But we never say, God, am I offending you? Do we understand that our sin offends God? When we sin, when we do wrong, we are offensive to God. We have to understand this, church. We'll get there. It's important. Our sin is ugly. It's messy. It leaves a stain on our heart. We are all sinners by nature. No one's out of it. You can feed the homeless. You can do a lot of good things. But listen to me, by nature we're sinners. Let me read here in Romans chapter 7. Paul, the great apostle, says it like this. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Sold as a slave to sin, I do not understand what I do. For what I do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. That's a human being's life, right there. Have you not ever been there? Even if you're a believer in Christ, have you not been there where you want to do good, but you just can't? You can't get out of it. You sit there every night, and you feel guilty because I keep repeating the same sin over and over and over again. Some of you today, maybe you sinned before you even came to worship. It's in our sin nature. We are sinners. We're transgressors. Our iniquity screams out to God. Our heart is evil. We do not do what is right. This is all important. Please, please listen to me. This is all important. Verse 3. All of us who lived among them at one time gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. I asked you a question. What do we deserve, church? Did you not hear we're sinners and transgressors? We go completely against God. Well, what does that mean? He is the rightful judge. He is the just God. What do we deserve? We deserve His wrath. That's a hard thing to hear. Like I said, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be good. We are by nature deserving of His wrath, His punishment, hell, eternal fire. This is what we deserve, church. Why is this important? Did I not remember in the beginning I said there's good news? You might be wondering, where is the good news? Where's the good news, Pastor? I don't see any good news. Verse 4, here we go. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Even when you were dead in your transgressions. But because of His great love for us. Listen to me. We deserve wrath, but because God's love, He loves us so much, we don't get what we deserve. If you have Jesus Christ through Christ's blood on the cross, you don't get what you deserve. Praise God. Praise God in heaven. We don't get what we deserve. We are saved. We are redeemed. We are reconciled back to God because of one thing, Jesus Christ, the cross. We finished our study in Matthew, and there towards the end, oh wow, the brutality. The brutality of what our Savior goes through on the cross. beaten, spit at. Prophesy to us, Messiah. Prophesy. Hung upon a cross. For you. For me. For the whole world. But because of his great love for us, this is why we have to understand we are sinners. We are wretches. We are so horrible in heart by nature. But this is how I can't understand God's love. I really can't. That he would save a person like me. That he would save a person like you. We deserve wrath. But God's love is incommunicable. I don't understand it. We will never be able to understand God's love because we don't deserve it. God loves us so much. Do you see this here? While we were dead in our transgressions, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. He didn't wait for you to get your life right. He didn't wait for you to be righteous. While you were in transgressions against God, he died for you. So that you might have a place in heaven. It is by grace you have been saved. You can't do anything, praise God. Praise God you can't do anything because you could never do anything. For who has given anything to God that he should repay them? You can't do anything, church. You can't do anything. It's all by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. That is good news. That is the greatest news for every single person on this world because we're all deserving. But through Christ, he gives us what we don't deserve. 1 John 4:10. We got to understand his love this evening. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. If you are born again, if you have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in your heart, he has lavished his love upon you. He has poured his love out through his blood, literally poured out his love to you. And should be called a children of God. What? What? You're a child of God. But not by anything you could possibly do. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. They saw Jesus. He did all the miracles. It didn't matter because why? We are sinful by nature. And it must take the Holy Spirit to call you to God. 1 John 4:10. This is the love. This is love. Listen closely, church. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We're able to love because he first loved us. Does that sit with us today, church? Why am I saying all this? This is important because I believe the church has lost its joy in this salvation. It's the greatest thing you could ever cling to, church. The salvation, your redemption. You've been redeemed. You're free. The chains are broken. But we sit there with a frown on our face, going through the motions. We come to worship every single day, going through the same things. I guess I gotta go to worship today. Where is the joy of our salvation? Could you imagine? Maybe the world might cling to the light that is in you if we show the joy of our salvation. Verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is what we do not deserve. We don't deserve to be raised up. We don't deserve his incomparable riches of his grace. We don't deserve anything. And I want to remind you, this is also what we don't deserve. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve for God to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Or if we confess our mouth, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We don't deserve that, church. Listen to me. We don't deserve new life. We don't deserve a new creation, a new body. We don't deserve the Holy Spirit. We don't deserve His mercy. We don't deserve His grace. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve to be called a child of God, to be a part of the family of God. But I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it a lot. He gives us what we don't deserve. If you have Jesus Christ, listen to me. Listen to me closely. You have forgiveness. You have the freedom. Forgiveness of sins. Christ died for the forgiveness of sins. The remission of sin. Again, I will say. Now listen to me closely. Listen to me closely now. You want Jesus? You need Jesus? You need Jesus Christ in your life? Why? Because of the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because your old sinful life, it isn't good enough to get into heaven. Your old clothes, your old sinful stained clothes are not good enough to get into heaven. But listen to me, He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives us new life. Church, new life. New life. We don't live like that. Well, at least I'm not seeing it. We're not living like we've gotten new life. Immeasurably more than what we deserve. And listen to me. We don't deserve all the mercy He gives to us. Even as believers, listen to me. We mess up. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We continue to mess up, but listen to me. God still abounds in compassion. He still abounds in mercy. He still abounds in grace. You can't out-mercy God. You can't out-grace God. You can't out-give God in anything. There is nothing. Aren't we a testimony to that today, church? We can't out-give God. And there's no way that you should deserve an inheritance in heaven, but sure does He give us not what we deserve. To be called a child of God, to have an inheritance in heaven, to His incomparable riches, His expressed in His kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. There's so many people out there right now trying to do all these types of works, trying to work and till the ground without Jesus Christ. That's not going to get you there because it's only by grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Through faith in who? Christ. Jesus Christ. And this is not from yourselves. This is important to know, church. This is not from yourself. It's not some nice little feeling inside of you. It's from the Holy Spirit. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Gift. Gift, freely given. But oh, what the price. Oh, what the price. Not by works so no one can boast. No one can boast, because that is how mighty our God is. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We have a mission, church. And it can only be done by grace. For by grace you are saved. You can't do any of it. I'm repeating this for a reason, church. There's a lot of people thinking either they got to get their life right before they can come to Christ. There's a lot of people out there thinking because I go to a soup kitchen and help, because I go to a shelter and help, because I go to this or that, because it makes it feel like I'm doing something right. Listen to me, it's not by any of that. So no one can boast. No one can say, I've saved myself. Because again, we are sinful by nature. And deserving of God's wrath. But oh, He abounds in love. I gotta keep saying it. Do you remember your salvation, church? Do you remember where God had plucked you from, snatched you from? You imagine if you were there for just a little bit longer, where your life would be? I have no idea. So I praise God every single day. And listen to me, church, this is important. I praise God every single day that I no longer have to live in sin. I no longer have to be a transgressor or a sinner, because listen to me, that's the way I used to live. That's the way I used to be. That is my past. That's my sinful past. But if you have Christ, only by Christ, He takes all of it away and casts it as far as the east is from the west. There's so many believers struggling to get rid of their past, struggling to cast their past aside. If we just remember that God has cast it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. The gift has been given, church. And we're not still waiting for it. He's not still to come. He's coming again. But the Messiah has already come, so that you have a ticket into eternal life. Eternal life. Does that not bring a smile to our face? To know we have the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest God, the greatest Savior, the greatest blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. For what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. This is an important passage, and I know we have a song that we sing about it. I hope you're able to sing this in your spirit. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds, we are healed. Listen to me, church. You are healed. You could be dying tomorrow, but if you have Jesus Christ, you're healed. That's it. That's all you ever need in life, is a healing from the Holy Spirit. Salvation, the joy of your salvation, it's a great gift, but oh, is it forgotten? Where's the church that preaches the gospel anymore? Where's the churches that proclaim Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven? They're out there, but listen to me, the world doesn't want to hear it. So we gotta be joyful in it. We gotta scream from the rooftops. We gotta shout from the rooftops, the mountains, the valleys, wherever you're at. And be joyful for what God has done. Because who can enter into heaven? For man, this is impossible, but for God, anything's possible. Anything is possible with God. Listen to me. The gospel is proclaimed right here in Ephesians. This is the gospel. We are sinners, need of salvation. Jesus Christ died upon the cross, shed His blood, died, buried, rose again. He's not dead. Did you hear me, church? He's not dead. But He sits at the right hand of God and He intercedes for you and I. Why? Because He loves us. Why does He intercede for you? Because He loves you. That one day we too will be resurrected. Don't store up your treasures. Don't store up the things here on earth. Don't do it. You'll miss it. Church, listen to me. You focus on this world too much, you're going to miss the greatest thing God has ever done. There's so many lost people out there. So many broken people fixated so much on the earthly things that they miss the greatest thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Listen to this. Why? Here in verse 2, it says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Satan, the ruler of the air. He has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And if we're not going to be joyful in our salvation, if we're not going to be the light of the world, if we're not going to be ambassadors of Christ, if we're not going to do the Great Commission, listen to me, they're going to probably stay blinded. That's a hard thing to hear, church. We are called. We're commissioned. I love that word. Commissioned by God. Why would God ever commission me? You ever wonder why God uses you? I've thought that. Not just here in pastoring, just anything. Why would God use a wretched sinner like me? Why would God use a sinner like me? Because in that, it shows the great, almighty God. The great, almighty God. Listen to me. How do you get the joy back? How do you get the joy of your salvation? You got to look back. That's the one thing you got to do. If you've been saved, if you've been born again, you have to look back. This is why God reminds the Israelites time and time again of their salvation from Egypt. Because they kept forgetting that God was the one to split the Red Sea. God is the one to remove the sin in your life. God is the one that pulled you out of the pit. God is the one, not a pastor, not the one who baptized you. It is Jesus Christ alone who lifted you up. Why? Because He too was lifted up. Church, are we understanding this? Are we understanding salvation today? Are we understanding that you don't deserve it? We'll keep repeating it. Definitely don't want us to forget it. We don't deserve it. But this is how we know the abounding love of God. That my heart, as dark as it can be, as black as it can be, as stained as it could be, Jesus wiped it all away. He was crushed, bruised, beaten, so that my heart could be wiped clean. My spirit could be wiped clean. And praise God that He just wasn't like, oh, I'll be back, you know. I'll be back soon. But He said, I'm leaving you something. This is another thing I feel like we neglect a lot, church. You have a Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. And He is a counselor. He's an encourager. He's the one who reminds you of the salvation. Listen to me. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to make it very far. I don't know how people make it as far as they do without the Holy Spirit. It's the greatest treasure. And the Bible says it's hidden in jars of clay. Who are the clay? We're the clay. Our frail bodies, our broken bodies, our dying bodies, that He would hide such a treasure as the Holy Spirit. Are we getting it a little bit more today, church? Are we getting it a little bit more? This isn't a sorrowful message. I hope this message is an encouragement to you, but listen to me. Again, there are many Christians today living like they've never been changed. Not drawing near to God, not listening for God's voice, not praying, not reading His word, not looking for God to be the solid foundation, because they've forgotten how great salvation really is. Sometimes I feel like it just gets kind of, oh, it happened to me 20 years ago. It happened to me 50 years ago. I don't care if it happened 50 years ago. Or yesterday. It is as joyful as it has ever been. As joyful as it has ever been. Do we realize how good God really is? To save a wretch like me. Right, Phil Jones? Save a person like me and to use me. You're blessed if you're here at New Life. Trust me. It's not like we're not special. We don't do anything crazy or have a billion people, whatever it is. But God's working here. And it can get hard here. It can feel like it's breaking you down. But you always go back to your salvation. You always go back to the purpose that God has for you. And none of that purpose, that whole purpose, can't happen without Jesus Christ. Let's stand. That's the good news, church.